Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on 97.1 FM Talk.
We are, we're back. Second hour of the Home Improvement Show. My second favorite hour of the week, the first being just the past one, the second being this one, and I am very happy to bring in the 97.1 listeners and fans of the Home Improvement Show from that side of the aisle. And remember, for everybody out there, both stations, you can get to me, same number, just call right in, 314-436-7900 is how you can find me. We've had a great conversation so far. A lot of calls, a lot of questions, a lot of comments. I like that when we get some solutions and plumbers calling in and Linda calling in, helping to come up with some answers and some things that people have done in the past and lived through and kind of had resolves for these issues for themselves. That is a great part of the show and the conversation also. So for me, that was really cool because it was actually the first time I've ever had two of the callers. We put them on together and got through that solution. So that was actually really kind of awesome. I thought that was a lot of fun with Linda and Debbie there. So, but speaking with about, we've had a lot about plumbing and this past one about the gnats and the flies and garbage disposals and drains And one thing I did want to bring up, we had a caller call in, just made a comment for some topic of what are people putting into their garbage disposals. And coming from my past and my history, years and years ago working in apartment maintenance and fixing kind of that handyman apartment maintenance stuff, the things that we see from the garbage disposals that people put in, I've had garbage disposals where they said, oh yeah, well I just had like a bunch of leftover spaghetti noodles in the fridge that we never ended up using. So I put them down there and now it's not working right. And I'm like, well, you just can't put a pound of spaghetti noodles down. It's meant for table scraps and small things. And think of that whole wear and tear maintenance. The less you use it, the longer it's going to last on almost every product in our country, whether it's for you, your home, your car, whatever. So don't put so much stuff down that garbage disposal. It's really just meant for those scraps on the plates. Scrape it into the trash can. A little bit's left over. That's perfectly fine. So, but hey, we've got Mike on the line here. So let's get over to Mike and see what's going on.
Hi there.
Hi. What's happening, Mike? Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having your service. I have a quick question. We have a couple of hairline cracks in our ceiling drywall, I guess from when the house has settled over the last 14 years. And my question is there another option to repair those cracks other than drywall mud? Is there any kind of a caulk that has more of a elasticity to it that gives it a little stretch, you know, so that we don't have that same issue down the road? What's your suggestions?
So it definitely kind of depends on where this crack is in your ceiling and kind of where it's coming off of. They do make a caulk. We use it on inside corners quite a little bit that crack, instead of doing the whole tape and mud the corner, because then you're into the wall and the ceiling and everything. So they make kind of like a big stretch paintable caulk that is more elastic and is kind of stretchier and will expand a little bit with the cracks opening up and kind of moving around a little bit. So we do that from the top of the wall to the ceiling when the crack's right in that corner quite a bit. And that, well, it still could come back, but it's that percentage better than just a normal paintable caulk. So there are some caulks out there that would work better. But is this kind of like right in the middle of your ceiling? Is it coming off like the corner of a wall where the wall turns into the dining room or something like that?
It's like above a doorway from our kitchen going into our dining area.
Uh-huh. You know?
And then another one is from a corner of our dining room wall going across the ceiling of, I guess it would call it the hallway or entryway, over to the next interior wall.
Okay. So is the one over the doorway, does it come off the corner of the doorway kind of at an angle? Or is it straight line?
Not an angle, just a straight line.
Kind of a straight line up towards the ceiling?
Well, it's the actual ceiling drywall that's cracked.
Oh, okay. So it's the ceiling above the doorway, not the wall. Yeah, so you're definitely better off. I mean, that is from expansion, contraction, and settling, things moving. Is there a second floor above that, or is there an attic above that?
Just an attic.
Yeah, so a lot of it could be from truss lift. The truss is just kind of moving and not staying in place and shrinking and creating some of these cracks. So your best bet is to dig it out and tape mud. That's going to last the longest. It can still reoccur. It can still reoccur quickly within a year to 2 or 3 or 4 years or something. But the longest lasting fix on that crack is going to be to kind of make sure it's cleared out, dug out a little bit, and retape with paper tape, drywall mud, the right mud, because there's different mud for when you first put the paper tape and do the first coat and all that on. There's some with adhesive in it. It's a green colored bucket, and that will last longer than just using the same type of mud on the whole patch. So there's good, better, best ways to do this. An elastic caulk could last quite a little while, but taping and mudding, it's going to last longer. And then using the right adhesive mud to really kind of grip that is going to last even longer than just a normal joint compound that you top coat it with.
And so, it comes in a green bucket?
Yeah, there's different joint compound. When you're looking at the joint compounds where they sell them, there's like a green and a blue, and there's a few different colors, and I'm pretty sure it's the green that has, and it would say like first coat adhesive or something like that on it, so it has kind of an adhesive in that drywall compound. It is a slower drying compound, so it won't dry fast. So it'll take a little longer to do. So when you do that first coat of tape and the first coat over it, then you wait like an entire day for that to dry really well. Then you can get into the blue color bucket that's a little quicker drying compound.
Okay. So it's called first coat adhesive. All right.
Yep.
All right. I'll check it out. I appreciate your help and your information.
All right. Perfect. I appreciate the call and the question. And for everybody else, we're going to jump into our break here, but we called in earlier, and there was a Jim that called in earlier through the break. If you guys are still out there, I'm still here. We can have plenty of time to get into the questions that you had or the questions that anybody else out there has. 314-436-7900 finds me right here live and ready for you today. We're going to take this break. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, here we go. The Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris live for you today, right here, ready for anything you got around your house. 314-436-7900 gets you to me, and we've definitely had some great conversations, but I'm still right now kind of stuck in this Thanksgiving preparation. What needs to happen? What can you do around your house to be ready? The things to think about is definitely kind of cleaning, decluttering, getting ready, get the high traffic areas around your house ready in advance, the kitchen, the dining room, the bathrooms, pretty much where everybody's going to be. Get your meal prep areas open and cleaned up and countertops ready to go for the big day, because I know we'll have a lot of people around doing a lot of different tasks. One thing, kind of like we're going to start our Christmas decorations this weekend, well, creating a cozy atmosphere is a great thing to do. Be festive, decor, pumpkins, candles, all those fall-themed pieces, or get your Christmas stuff out and started and get everybody started in on that next holiday and ready for the season. So that's a lot of great things to do. Planning everything. Plan the table, the seating, how you go through everything. Do you have the space? You're kind of set up, think and plan for that buffet, streamlined service, all of that, how you get through that. And being prepared for pretty much anything to happen. So stocking up on all of your essential things that you'll need. Make sure you have enough. You don't want to run out. Your napkins, paper towels, trash bags. Kind of consider all of those other products that you might need to have plenty of, and double check all the staples for your recipes and make sure you have all the different spices and ingredients that you'll be up against, because running out of those is an issue just as well. So there's a ton of different things you can do to prepare. And like we're having guests, we got a lot of guests coming. So preparing their space, fresh linens, towels, toiletries, all the things that they'll need while staying for the weekend is a big deal. Having some books out, blankets, just in case kind of things for them is a great thing to do. Safety is another big thing with all this happening. Prior to it happening, test your smoke detectors. Make sure you have fire extinguishers readily and accessible. Look at the fire extinguisher and make sure the arrow's still in the right area where it needs to be. So make sure they're good. You could end up needing a new fire extinguisher if you haven't looked at it for years, it could not be ready to go. And of course, making sure you know how, we've talked about this a few times in the past few weeks, of making sure you know how to work that fire extinguisher. Go ahead and use that old one as training, even if it's for your child or someone else. Get a new one and then use the old one that you've had for quite a while as a training. Get used to pulling the pin, squeezing, where do you aim it? Get a fire in a fire pit and put that thing out. It's amazing how better prepared you'll be if you've done that once before than if you haven't. So, and something to think about is being prepared for any unexpected guests. Maybe somebody's just in the area and they stop by. So having appetizers and quick desserts, easy things to get out ready for a situation like that. And last thing for me, and what I try and talk about, I stress this topic to my wife. The last thing on my list for this preparing is to don't forget about yourself. Don't forget about self-care. I know there's a lot happening and a lot to do, but it's good for us to stop and just take some breaths. Maybe delegate some of these tasks to your family members. You don't have to feel 100% perfection, overwhelmed, trying to get to everything. So think about what could other people do. Delegate some of these tasks so it's somewhat easier on yourself. And then don't forget to just enjoy the moment. Focus on what matters. Spending time with your family, with your loved ones, and really that can help you with a lot of that self-care and everything too. And while you're around the home, don't forget some of the things you need to do that. Maybe you need some advice, maybe you have some questions, some thoughts. And again, we've got another half hour coming through here, plenty of time to go through a lot and take your calls and your questions from you. So 314-436-7900 is the line to get live with me today. Now, another thing that comes up during Thanksgiving and Christmas is fires in the home. This is the time, winter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, and all through that is the time where fires in the home increase. It's cold outside, we're using heaters, we've got all these things going on. And so, unfortunately, fires can increase. So things we need to consider during Thanksgiving, and one of the things I actually asked my wife maybe we would do again this year, because we haven't done it in a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years for Thanksgiving, is deep frying a turkey. We used to pretty much do it every year. Now we do smoked turkey. And so even the smoker, the deep fryer, you got to consider all these, the fire safety options, like having that fire extinguisher ready at hand, ready to go. So when you're deep frying a turkey and you're getting ready, one of the big things you want to make sure that you do is pick a good location. Choose the right location outdoors, as far away from the home as you can get. So you want to get away from the garage, away from the deck, any other structures. I have a hard time forgetting one particular year. Quite a few years back, it was extremely, extremely cold, and we were over at my in-laws for Thanksgiving, and we were frying the turkey over there, and it was cold, it was very windy, so we put that turkey fryer probably a little too close to the front of that garage than we probably should have, and we've got the turkey frying, and there didn't end up being any type of an issue. But while it was frying. And this is one of those other things they talk about is don't leave the turkey unattended. Well, these two big loose dogs that must have got out of their backyard come running up. And here I am, of course, they're smelling a turkey fryer going, and I'm just kind of trying to like block this turkey fryer from these two big dogs like it's Aaron Rodgers back there, and I don't want him to get sacked because I'm envisioning in my mind their house burning down if this thing tips over. So having that location far away, even though it seems like, well, this isn't too bad, take it from me, that was a little too close for comfort. That won't happen again, because you just don't think of just something out of the ordinary just happening like that to you. So get a good location, get it far away from all those structures. Use the right oils. So consider the high smoke point oils like peanut and canola oil is great for those. There is a note of make sure that the turkey is thawed and dry. So you'd never want to put a frozen turkey into that turkey fryer. But while frying, never leave it unattended. Even if you got to do anything just for a moment, call in the troops. There's usually a lot of people around. So I usually have one of the cousins, my son, people kind of around. So I go, okay, I'm going to be gone for a couple minutes. Can you stay here and make sure this doesn't catch my yard on fire or whatever? Having good protective wear when frying a turkey, the mitts, goggles, long sleeves, if it's splashing up that, and of course, keep your children and your pets away from this. So pets, it wasn't even our pets, but here we were trying to keep these pets away from this turkey fryer. So kind of have that no-go zone around that to prevent any accidents from happening. And like I said, know how to use that fire extinguisher and have that thing ready just in case. And then after you're done, allow things to cool down completely. Allow them to, before you start to clean up or do anything, have it completely cooled down. It takes hours and hours for that to happen. So never pour that oil down your drain. Like we were talking about, garbage disposals aren't for stuff like that. So, so that's a good long list of the things to do while prepping and all of that for your Thanksgiving Day turkey. So we're kind of right at the cusp of this middle hour break here. I'm going to get into that break. We've got Joe on the line, just came in, but if you could hold for about 1 minute, we'll get through a short break and we'll get to you.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
You as soon as we're back.
97.1 FM Talk. St. Louis is home for conservative talk. 20 KMOX.
All right, everybody. Plenty of home improvement show left for everybody today. We got time for you. Feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. We've got Joe on the line as promised there. Thanks for holding on through the break. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Rick?
I'm good.
Good. I kind of have a three-part question for you. Had my fireplace looked at, and they told me it's a wood-burning fireplace, masonry. They told me they found some cracks. They recommended getting it a liner. It's like a liquid liner they mix up this stuff and coat it with. Want to get your take on that, how that works, if that's any good. And then I'm thinking about, we're considering converting over to gas, and we're looking at maybe an insert with a glass front, because I'm looking at the I'm not looking at aesthetics. I'm looking at heat output to warm the room to use that.
Okay.
Good take on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at that liner, so I'm guessing it's a masonry fireplace. So your flue is actually like clay tile inside that chimney?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so that liner is fine. It's a good liner. They do that all the time with clay liners. And I think it's effective and works. But what you're considering changing into that gas unit, depending on the box that you pick with the glass front, that insert fits in there, you may not have to do that liner because they'll probably end up putting in a smaller metal liner that will ventilate that gas box so they can send that liner down and kind of hook it up to the top of that unit. So you probably won't have to correct those cracks with that spray in liner if the unit you pick, they add an actual metal insert liner where they drop it down from the top and hook it up, because the gas boxes usually have a smaller pipe than a big 8 or 10 or inch clay flue liner. They can run a new one up through it. So you may not need that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. What I looked at, there's two pipes. There's a, they run a intake air up and an exhaust air up.
Yep. Yep. And that would be your best type, fully enclosed. So it's getting its intake air from the outside. It's exhausting to the outside through separate pipes. And that is going to put more heat into your home, because it's not drawing air from your living space up out the chimney while you have a fire burning. So that's going to heat the home really well. That will be way better than, because a lot of times they just add a gas log set with a gas line inside that wood burning. You use the same flue and that's more for aesthetics and won't really heat the room, but that insert will.
Okay. My other thought was I could go vent-free logs, but I don't know if that would put out as much heat. Even though I have a vent in the back of my fireplace, it could draw air from there. But then I heard them vent-frees put out a little odor.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of complaints with the vent free ones of the glass kind of fogging up on the inside and of the odor when first starting them, first running them in the first few minutes they run sometimes. So much to the point that I've talked with fireplace people that stopped offering them. I know, I believe that Arnold Stove said, we just don't even put them in because we get too many complaints later on. No matter how much you warn somebody, then they're like, oh yeah, you were right. This is worse than I was hoping for. And so they're just like, I don't even want to do those anymore. So,
okay.
Yep. So I wouldn't go that direction.
Okay. The one with the glass, the vented, it has the glass in front. That's a ceramic glass. They said it gets very, very hot, and it radiates the heat. Plus, it has a multiple speed blower.
Yep.
But you get a screen that goes in front of the glass, which is kind of mind boggling. You can, it's right against the glass, but you can touch that screen and it's not hot.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hope that helps. Let's jump over to Rick real quick. We're getting close on time before a break here, but let's see if we can get through Rick. What's going on, Rick?
Yes, I have an electric furnace with a heat pump.
Uh-huh.
And on my thermostat, it has a setting, of course, for air conditioning and heating, but it also has an AUX auxiliary setting. Do you know when I should use the auxiliary setting?
That I do not. I would have to call out to some heating cooling people and see if they have a better idea of when you would need to use that, because that I'm not certain of.
Okay, thank you anyway.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get some information going here with everybody and see if we can get maybe HVAC guy to call in and let us know what that's doing for us. So let's jump to Mary real quick. We got a couple minutes. Mary, what's going on?
I need someone to fix my doorbell. It doesn't ring. It's just like a little cover over the outside. There's no screw to it. There's no little hole.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. If I try to pop that cover off, then what? I mean, there's a place in the hall where where the doorbell, I think, is attached to. I never paid attention to it if it rings from the hall.
But yeah, it rings from that box in the hall, but you're saying the button outside, when you push that,
Nothing happens.
And so, yeah, if you pop that cover off the button outside, the screws are probably hidden and underneath that cover. Really the first thing to check, and I just had this happen with a client of mine where hers wasn't working and we were looking at replacing the doorbell button, and I just popped the cover off of that box in the hallway just while we were there doing a walkthrough, talking about the whole job. And I'm like, well, let's just look behind there. I popped it off, and she just literally had a wire come loose off the screw. We put the wire back on the screw, tightened it up in like 30 seconds, and bam, it was working again for us. So checking both behind those covers and make sure the wires are hooked up first is the first thing you want to do.
I popped the thing off in the hall, and it's got two wires, and they're both attached.
Okay. Yeah, so that's okay. You'll just have to check at that button, too. So I got to get to a break here, Mary. I apologize. We've got Billikens coming in, and I got a hard break I got to hit. But I'll be back in the next segment for a little more with everybody after this.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, everybody, we are back. Last segment here for us. So some great home improvement things going on today. And we have Chris jumped on the line. He's got an answer for the auxiliary setting on that heat pump thermostat. Chris, are you there?
I am. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in, friend.
Good. Not a problem.
How can you help us?
I had that explained to me, and I had to remember it. It's basically for when it gets super cold, you put it in that aux position, and that forces the heat strips to run because the heat pump can't generate enough heat from outside. There's not enough that it can get out of the atmosphere, so it forces the heat strips that are inside the furnace to run all the time until...
Gotcha.
And then you got to remember to put it back, because if you don't, then you're running the strips all the time.
Yeah, then you're not. Yeah, you won't be saving any energy then. Yeah, we were talking about this last week about having a backup for, you know, the deep, deep cold times when you have a heat pump in our area, and having like either an electric or gas heat backup. So yeah, so that aux basically puts it on that backup and makes that run all the time, so it'll heat better for you. So that's great. I appreciate that call and that answer, Chris.
Okay, well, any good contractor will put in the inside unit. The furnace will have a strip heat in it.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to worry about gas or anything else. And I mean, if you want to do gas, it's okay, but that means you got to get two different.
Two different systems.
I'm doing gas heat.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, all right. Well, thanks. Have a great day.
Cool. Yeah, no. Appreciate the call there, Chris, and the info. Hopefully Rick was still hanging out listening and got that answer from you. So there you go, Rick. We got it from the large KMOX community as usual. So, hey, we got call back in on the line. Hey, how you doing?
Very good. How are you? I have a pretty straightforward question.
Okay.
I have a 1950-ish kind of Cape Cod style house. I had to replace a window. No problem. That's not a big deal. The issue is it's got metal steel siding, and the J channel around the window was, I'm an amateur, but I know it was poorly done, poorly cut, poorly sized and everything. So I got the window in. The J channel is the thing I had to retrofit, and I did it, but it doesn't look fantastic because I had to kind of just bend everything in. So my question is are there other alternatives to retrofitting steel J channel?
Wow. I mean, doing that is not really that I know of. I could pretty much say the only alternative that I've seen that is not a great one that I've seen people do. And the hard part with steel siding is when you're trying to change that J channel, it's nailed in behind the siding. So typically your window's in, you put the J channel nice and neat around the window, you nail that to the wall, and then your siding goes on. And the only way to get behind steel siding, it's not like vinyl siding where you can just, I could take off one piece in the middle of a wall if I wanted to. That is, you cannot do with steel. So you're basically taking the whole wall apart from the top down to try and get that J channel installed. Now, the other thing that I have seen out there that is very common with replacement windows is they get the window in and then they wrap it with aluminum coil stock and they fill the voids with that. So you kind of make that aluminum coil stock wrap work as a J channel. So you get rid of that J, and then you make the aluminum coil stock kind of go over the siding. You can bend it in several different ways. Somebody that's really, really experienced and really, really good at it can do that and just create a lip that covers the siding from that aluminum coil that matches either kind of the siding color or the window color. And then that way you don't have that J anymore, and you kind of made it out of your own aluminum. The thing that scares me about that is leaking. So when you put in a replacement window and you can't get behind the siding and it's not flashed to the wall, and then you make this kind of cover up your siding with metal, you kind of get to a state where you're pretty reliant on caulk to keep wind and water out from getting around and through that window. So it'd be something to be particularly aware of and to watch for signs of water intrusion and things like that happening because of the way that window was installed, not flashed to the wall, siding wasn't taken off, and then that metal can actually guide water back towards the wall because you can't really flash it to the wall well with the siding still on the wall. So there's just an error of caution with that type of install.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm running into.
Yep. Yeah. And I think for your look though, having someone make that themselves out of coil stock, that aluminum metal we use with siding and on fascia and all that, I think that's going to be what could possibly end up looking the best for you in your situation.
Now, just to follow up on that, if you have one quick second, instead of when they get rid of the J channel and they put the coil stock, is it possible I don't worry about the coil stock and just do, let's say, PVC exterior trim, secure it up, and then I know you don't look to rely on the caulk for water penetration, but would that be okay to substitute PVC for the coil?
So if it would be, if you could get that on there and you could caulk it really well around the outside to the siding, and then you caulk it really well around kind of the inside of that piece of trim to the window, and then you just maintain that caulk. I would look at that caulk at least twice a year, and I would, the top piece will be one of the more important pieces. So I don't know where the window is on the house, but when inspecting the caulk, you want to, if you've got a piece of that PVC trim that's kind of on top of your steel siding, and you caulk that to the steel siding, make sure you can see the top of that, because that's going to be where your caulk breaks and your water starts getting in. Most likely, that'll be the worst spot.
Okay.
So just maintain the caulk, and yes, you if you could keep it out with caulk and you maintain the caulk, you'll be good. So the PVC,
maybe a Z flashing on the top.
It would have to just be caulked to the siding, because it's how you get that. If you could tuck that Z flashing behind that siding as far as you can get, that would be good.
Okay.
Because that would kind of keep that water. Then you can kind of caulk the Z flashing down, but don't caulk the Z flashing to that siding so it lets water back out.
Right. Understand. Okay.
Yep. Nope. I think you're
Thank
in a
you
good
so
place.
Much.
No, you're All welcome. Right. Yeah. And these are those tricky, innovative things I was kind of talking about a little bit earlier, too, of being somewhat innovative in when we were talking about the shower valve and a piece of quarter inch PVC that was basically make your own, invent your own escutcheon to cover the hole and caulk it in. Well, in a shower, that's great, because if you're using that shower, you're looking at that caulk. I re-caulk my showers quite often because the caulk's only mold resistant, so you get the mold kind of in that caulk, and you can't really, it gets to a spot after 2, 3, 5 years where you can't clean that up. If you have hard water, it's even worse on that. But you can see it in the shower, and it's easy to go, yep, I need to re-caulk that again. It's harder to remember to remind yourself to go outside and look at caulk and make sure if you do something like that trim around that window, focus on it and make sure you're checking it. So having a company that could actually do inspections and kind of inspect and look at the house and look for these areas and talk about these areas and having a company that can help keep up and maintain with that on different areas of the house, and every house is different. So performing an inspection that kind of says, here's your house. We've done this inspection. We've looked here, there, in the attic, everywhere. We've been around, and these are the things that we see. These are the things that we notice. These are the things that we recommend. These are the things I would keep my eye on. And doing something like that every year, once or twice a year, and helping with that preventive maintenance that we were talking about. We've all heard that old saying, an ounce of preventiveness is worth a pound of cure. It's 100% true. So the more preventive work you can do and focus on is really a good thing. So that's something that we've started working on here at Mosby Building Arts, where I work now, is to kind of say, all right, well, how can we help people? So we're coming up with a new system, not there yet 100%, but we're coming up with the system. How can we help people visualize, maintain, inspect, give advice, keep the good advice coming, so we can be the one and all for everything that you need? So there will be more to come with that in the future here as we develop how we can help people out with that, because we want to be the end-all, know-all of everything and really help you out, just like hopefully this show does and helps everybody out. So, hey, we're out of time here, but want to wish everybody a good Thanksgiving. Be good to each other. Have a good Thanksgiving, and I will talk to everybody next week.